The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Everything about WWE is awful, and it makes me not want to be a wrestling fan. This week on Pro Wrestling Unscripted with your host, Shannon Young, barely out of the grave. But at least I got one foot out, if nothing else. Ace of Gray is the five-star man, and he's down at the end of the table.
You know what'll make you feel better, though?
What's that?
Eric Andre and John Oliver are both going to be in the live-action Lion King movie.
We were just talking about that before the show. John Oliver is Zazu, I think.
Yeah.
And Eric Andre is whoever he wants to be.
Azizi.
Isn't that one of the hyenas?
I don't remember. So. I think so, yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen The Lion King. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. And it just re-released on
also,
Blu-ray.
James Earl Jones is going to be Mufasa still.
He is.
Yeah, that's the best, yeah.
Beyonce is announced for Nala.
And then the most important out of all of them, Donald Glover is Simba.
Mm. Yes.
He was technically in Spider-Man.
He was? No, there's no technically.
Yeah, he was in
It was the Honest Trailers I watched today.
Oh.
They said now starring and then showed Donald Glover and it said technically in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Ali Abear to our right.
Hello.
To my right. And Dalton Anthony, the big D, to my left.
Can we make a truce that I don't get yelled at on the show?
Shut up.
We're doing great. Oh, also, your voice
bitch.
Right now.
Bitch. Oh!
Oh!
Oh! He said the B word.
So, I don't know what triggered this in my brain, but you kind of sound like Billy Idol in The Wedding Singer.
Oh, thank you.
Like when he's talking on the microphone?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the airplane? Yeah.
So, yeah, this happens every year. I get sick, mm-hmm. and then my voice goes out every year. It started going out during CCW Live. I felt it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just let me get through tonight. I won't do a show tomorrow. I'll stay home if mm-hmm. I have to. I'll let Jesse and Lindsay start, because we're starting Pokemon Month tomorrow.
Oh,
so that's for them.
Nice.
Really, it's not really even for me. So I'm going to try to get through the show tonight. I got water here if you hear me gulping it down.
You love Agumon.
Yes, I love Agumon.
Big Bad Beetleborgs?
Nobody loves that show.
Nope.
Let's start off this week, because it was a bad week for WWE, because it was just a bad week in
yeah,
WWE.
Not a lot of good news.
No, this is going to be an angry show.
Bo Dallas is back.
And that's good. I actually, you know what? I don't hate Bo Dallas as much as I used to.
Like, with like the four major, three major returns and Bo being back.
Yeah.
That was the one I was most happy about.
You were wrong.
No, because, I mean, well, like, I'm happy to see Nia back. I'm happy to see Joe back. But, like, viral meningitis.
Oh, I thought you weren't talking. I thought you were including Strowman in returns. It was like,
oh, no.
Also, like, Joe. And Nia. Yeah, you're nice. I stand by it. You're wrong. Shannon, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, the thing that's got me the most angry in a week full of things that got me angry. is Vice did a great article. I don't know what they're doing down there. What? No, don't catch the heart.
No, it was these hands.
Yeah.
He can catch them.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I will fight him.
Gotcha.
video podcast coming soon.
God, no.
Vice did an article about WWE whitewashing away the Ultimate Warrior's terrible past.
Yes.
And all the awful things he said, including Bobby Heenan. I hope Bobby Heenan gets cancer.
No, he celebrated that because it was when Heenan was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, he celebrated. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he celebrated Heenan being diagnosed
that
with cancer.
That is much worse.
Significantly.
Queering doesn't make the world work.
Queering don't make the world work.
Heath Ledger's daughter is better off now that he's dead.
Yeah. Notorious homophobe, general asshole.
Things that Jesse would be going no to. It's just everything Warriors ever said.
And someone finally, rightfully pointed this out to WWE, and it was Vice, and I'm actually a fan of Vice. They do a lot of good work. I actually genuinely like their work. Well, this was immediately met with backlash from Dana Warrior, which, by the way, is the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life.
You have to think about her
name is actually Dana Warrior.
You're defending a man, and I mean, all right, you loved him, you married him. I'm not going to throw shade on that. But you married a man who was literally so upset that WWE owned a property that they owned, that was theirs, that he changed his legal name to Warrior.
His name was legitimately Warrior.
That is the person you are defending.
Yeah, Ali, so the Ultimate Warrior for you, because I know you just started watching wrestling mm-hmm. a couple years ago with us. Ultimate Warrior is on the same level, and he's on the same level as Hulk Hogan, as Macho Man Randy Savage. He is a legend. He is an 80s star. He wrestled for a very long time. I mean, you can't take it away from him.
Oh, yeah, no.
Business. He is a legend. he is also, no one really knows why he was a legend because his interviews were the worst.
It was the energy.
He has so much energy. That's legitimate.
It was just the screaming nonsensical. And the fact that they were so nonsensical.
Yeah.
Was just what added kind to of, it. And it was, you know, him sprinting to the ring. It was the face paint. It was the shaking the ropes. Like, I totally get why he was as popular as he was.
Yeah.
Like,
as a kid, especially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially as a kid. Like, yeah. It's one of those things where I don't think it necessarily ages super well. Like, if we were to show you Warrior matches, I don't think you would be a fan.
At this age going into it, you probably would say this is silly.
Not. Yeah, you'd be like, okay, I get why people like this, but like his matches are not good.
Probably aim for the children.
Yeah, you can still watch Macho Man matches now and go, that guy's great. Yeah. You can watch Hogan's promos and stuff and go, okay, I see why that guy got over.
You can totally see why Warrior got over, but it was a thing where it was very much, I think, a product of its time.
But at the same time, Warrior outside of the ring, I didn't know about this until a couple years ago. It was when he said, queering don't make the world work. Mm-hmm. And the dude was just an asshole. Mm-hmm. He was.
You know what the best part about that is?
Sorry, Kevin Huntsberger. I'm really sorry.
Well, no, it's one of those things. It's like, we're not going to totally cut you off, I promise. That, you know, because Kevin put a thing on his My Win 2-3 Cents blog, which was really good about why he likes the Warrior. But it was strictly on the whole, like, this is clearly just a case of, this is someone who can look past who the performer was as a person.
Same reason me and Hogan.
For the longest time. Like, it was only recently that you've kind of turned your back on Hogan.
Because he eventually got to a point in his personal life.
It was the Hurricane.
That eventually he said things that made me go, look, I can't defend this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, at least on the good side is Warrior's dead, so he can't keep talking.
That's true. Dalton, what were you going to say real quick?
The whole queer doesn't make the world work. Do you know who his last match was with?
It was of Orlando Jordan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In Australia?
I think so.
I think, yeah.
But like, yeah, no, that's just kind of a nice little, it's not funny. It's not good that he was a homophobe. Was as in the past tense because he can't say things.
Because he's
like,
dead.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm happy that he's dead. It's just one of those, like, one less person in the world like that. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. And I'm not going to celebrate he's dead. No.
It's one of those things where it's just like, it's a cute little footnote.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, queer doesn't make the world work. All right, your legendary career, who was your last opponent? Orlando Jordan. We'll show you videos later why that's funny.
And it's just one of those things, like, you know, and a lot of people, because there's, you know, I think, you know, Dalton and I have talked about it before, just with, and I'm not saying what the things that Warrior said anyway measure up to what Chris Benoit did.
We just recently had this talk.
We just talked about this, where it's like, yeah, but man, it's still just to the point where they're in the same category for me in that I'm not able to, I can't see past the person to actually be able to appreciate the art.
You can't distance yourself from the
character. Yeah. And I totally get how people can because, you know, what he said super truly vile things, but as far as we know, he never actually hurt anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
And what he said,
he has a right to his opinion, even though his opinion was wrong.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where Benoit murdered his family and then killed himself. That is leagues above anything Warrior could have even possibly said.
Right.
Words can only really do so much.
Right.
But it's at that same time where, man, every time I see Warrior be celebrated
you
like
just
this,
hear that.
I don't see all of the fans cheering for him. I don't see him shaking up the ropes. I don't hear him talking about the jet fuel and the rocket ship. All I hear are these hateful words, especially when he says these things about Bobby Heenan, who is hands down like one
a personal
of my
hero
favorite,
of yours.
Yeah, personal hero of mine. So it's like, I'm not going to be able to look past that to see all of the good that is currently being done in his name. It's just like, man, there are so many better options to.
And like, so, and recently, because this whole Vice thing has kind of re-brought up the whole Warrior thing. Mm-hmm. At the Hall of Fame, we have the Warrior Award, which is honestly, aside from Connor winning it, I haven't cared about that award, but it wasn't because Warrior. It was because Daniel Bryan inducted him and his dad did the speech. Rename that stupid name for that award to the Conor the Crusher Award.
And it's also not like, because the Conor the Crusher Award would be great for what they're using it for.
Right.
Because what they're using it for wasn't what Warrior actually intended. Because I'll give him credit for that. The award Warrior intended that to be
was backstage people.
Is noble. It's, you know, he wants the people, the directors, the cameramen, you know, the people working behind the scenes that you never see. Like, the first person who should have won the Warrior Award was Jim Johnson.
Right. Music
like,
director.
Yeah, the guy who made every memorable WWE theme before 2010
right.
was Jim Johnson.
Yeah.
Or whenever, I don't even think it was that, or it wasn't that long ago.
I can't think of the other person who, like, Stone Cold always praises him. He's not with us anymore, but the one that did the merch.
Yeah.
Like, people like that, and like, don't get me wrong, I'm happy that WWE recognizes people like this. It's a good achievement award, but it's really hard to show like all the perseverance and the resiliency of the warrior. Be like, yeah, but whenever you have somebody like this that you're honoring with the Susan G. Komen lady, mm-hmm. and then also putting Conor the Crusher and Eric LeGrand, mm-hmm. like you're kind of stepping on two people. For an award that, like, they should be getting an award that is for Conor the Crusher.
Well,
like,
and you don't want the Warrior's name. You generally don't want a name associated with good people like that, that did something bad like that.
Yeah.
Like, and I know this isn't the same thing. I know it's not.
I don't want to, yeah, there should be.
But as an example, I'm just saying, you wouldn't want, like, if you were a child actor or something, if you were an actor, you wouldn't want to have you got the Kevin Spacey Award. Knowing what we know now, you wouldn't want that award because that name is associated, even though he's a great actor, mm-hmm. that name is associated with bad things.
There'll never be a Chris Benoit Technical Wrestler Award in the WWE Hall of Fame.
The Warrior Award should be, it's absolutely should be Crusher, Conor the Crusher.
Yeah.
That's a no
doubt.
That
was Steven mm-hmm. Larson. That was going in Raw that they suggested that.
Like, and that's a smart idea.
Like, yeah, and that would be nobody's going to say a negative thing about that. Vice isn't going to write an article about it.
Well, no one could, though, too.
Yeah.
Because Crusher didn't do anything bad.
Yeah. Right? No.
They're not going to say, well, he cheated on a test once. No, no one's going to do that.
No.
But Warrior, what he said of his own volition was just god awful.
Yeah.
Now Dana Warrior, like Dalton said, is the face of the Unleash Your Warrior campaign with Susan G. Komen. They released statements. WWE released a statement, I think, first. Maybe I'm wrong, but their statement is WWE's Unleash Your Warrior Breast Cancer Awareness Campaign and annual Warrior Award recognize individuals that exhibit the strength and courage of WWE's legendary character, the Ultimate Warrior. Any attempt to distract from the mission of these initiatives and take the spotlight away from the honorees is unfortunately misguided.
No.
I mean, I kind of get where they're coming from.
They're saying this
like,
is the character.
But they're using super specific wording in
right.
that of, no, yeah, we're honoring. Ultimate Warrior never said the queer doesn't make the world go round.
Warrior did.
Jim Hellwig
except his name wasn't Jim Hellwig.
It was
because
Warrior.
He changed his name.
But
yeah.
No, it was Warrior, not Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, no.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
And then Dana Warrior, which is still the stupidest name I've ever heard, said, I will not be disloyal to my husband's memory or speak ill of a man who is not here to defend himself. I can, however, tell you his heart was changed by conversations with his two daughters. The true testament of the man behind the character is his ability to evolve. My husband did just that. Sure. Okay, if I accepted that at blanket, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. this is the thing I'm upset about. So did Hulk Hogan. When Hulk Hogan said the vile things that got him blacklisted from WWE, whether you believe him or not, he also went through a change, became very spiritual, turned over to God, and regrets the things that he said or says he does. So why is it okay that the WWE can go, well, Hulk Hogan doesn't belong anywhere near our product, look how awful he is, but then embrace Ultimate Warrior for the same reasons? Like, I hate the hypocrisy.
And I'm not okaying it. The differences are that Hogan was an active employee of WWE at the time. And don't yell at me. I'm just saying, like.
I'm not going to yell, baby.
No,
that was last week.
No, I'm just saying because of like this, it's a very heated discussion that we all have feelings about. It's one of those that he was an active employee at the time that came out. That stuff came out before Warrior came back with the WWE.
Yeah, but Warrior.
That does not make it okay. I'm just saying.
I'll say,
that
Warrior
was,
is, I know what you're saying. Like Hogan was in a spotlight. But so was Warrior. Like, you have a yearly award for him.
But that was the, like, queering doesn't make the world stuff work and all that. That was said before his signing.
He wasn't associated with WWE
at
all.
At the time. Whenever Warrior came back, they were making such a big deal out of it. Man, look at him. He's building back bridges with McMahon and Hogan and, like, him and Triple H. Now he's going to be an ambassador for the company that built him. And, like, this is a good feel-good thing. They were starting to spin the narrative that he's turned. Unfortunately, they weren't able to finish that narrative because he passed away right after.
What's to say? But Hogan didn't say those things when he was in WWE.
No, he was still employed. Like he still had like the Legends contract. He was still a WWE representative
when it came out. That stuff did not come out recently. Warrior saying all that stuff has been that happened,
but,
and people knew about it before.
But now it's in the spotlight.
Because of Vice, yeah, yeah.
Right, now it's in the spotlight again, so shouldn't they,
and
you know what I mean?
Well, like, it's one of those things where now it's just a matter of the fact that we're never going to know. You know, it's very possible that the man, you know, saw the light, realized that the things that he said were vile and were wrong, and he was ashamed of them, and he was ashamed of them, and he wanted to, and he genuinely wanted to make these corrections. Unfortunately, like Dalton said, we are never going to be able to get to actually see that happen because what he was very vocal about was terrible. He was never as vocal about how he had changed. All we have now are, you know, and I'm not going to question her. I'm not going to say, oh no, well, you're wrong. You're lying about your husband. Like, I would never do that. But like, but what we have is the word of the people who were close to him, who, you know, are painting this picture of, no, no, he, you know, he was trying to, you know, he was a good man. He had a kind heart, you know, these things that they're saying. All that we have seen was this public, you know, outcry of the things that he said publicly. Which, so we only were really shown the worst of it.
Which again feels very, I still, it feels very similar to the Hogan.
Oh, no, yeah, no, and no, it you're, is. You're right.
Where like, everyone it comes is. Out and says, no, Hogan's actually, all and his I, black friends say, no, no, and, no, he's good.
And here's the, but here's
but the internet community at large is so, anytime they find something they can pick on.
When I said this earlier, I didn't mean it as a joke. Warrior's not, we're like, unless there's some sort of like leaked recording of something, Warrior's never going to be able to say anything like that again. Hogan still has the, like, even, cause look at
the hurricane.
Thing, look
yeah.
at the thing that flipped you. The, you know, yes, he has very much made apologies and has tried everything he could to make it right for the things that he said when he didn't even know he was being recorded.
But then he keeps opening his mouth.
But then, you know, he tweets about like, oh, well, people who lost everything in a hurricane, they should just be thankful because other people have it way worse. Like, man, like, you just keep saying just real stupid stuff. So I, like.
It's like some people shouldn't have access to Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay. Well, let's, we, I don't want to spend our entire time talking about this. Obviously we can't, we already spent like 10 minutes, which is more than I wanted
it's,
to devote
and
to.
It, yeah, like I said, it's just one of those things where some people are able to look past the character mm-hmm. and some people are able to look past the man and only focus on the character. And if you're able to do that, like I'm honestly envious because like, man, I would love to go back and watch some Chris Benoit matches.
Yeah.
But I can't do it. Like, I've tried recently. Like, I wanted
it's
to watch.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah. We've talked about it before. I can't do it either. And yeah. I would love Chris Benoit when I was a kid.
And so it's that same thing where it's like, man, I see. And especially, and we're not going to get into it because we've talked about it before, but like with the shadiness of the Susan G. Komen.
Right.
Foundation itself.
It's kind of a double.
Yeah. It's just like, this
keeps
is
piling
just,
on.
It just doesn't feel good. Like, but on the other hand, like, yeah, there is empirical good that are both being attributed to them now, and I'm not going to do anything to try to take that away or try to undermine that.
Well, not that we could.
Oh yeah, I mean,
you know
that,
what I mean.
But
yeah.
like, even if
we
had
not
the,
vice,
yeah, even right. if we had the ability, like, I wouldn't want to.
So do you think Vice is right to post that article? Like, do you think there's any merit to it?
I don't think that
other than just trying to drum up controversy to get views.
I don't think there's a right or wrong. Like, I'm not mad that they did it. And honestly, and if it were up to me, my personal opinion is that yes, I think more people should be aware of the kind of things that this man said before you just openly start to, and maybe that's unfair. I'm totally willing to admit that maybe I'm just biased and, you know, and I think that's unfair because he didn't get the chance to redeem himself if that was what he was hoping to do.
Yeah.
And which, if that's true, that's super unfortunate. And right. that's, but it's one of those things like, you gotta be careful because, you know, what any little thing you say or do could end up being your legacy.
Which brings us to our next story. Let's segue into the next thing. Leo Rush. And by association, we have to start by saying, and I don't mean to cut the conversation off, I really think we could talk about this for an hour.
Yeah,
I really
do. Yeah,
that
could go longer, but
so
there's a lot of other stuff we need to talk about.
So, three big WWE releases last week / this week. Emma,
Summer Rae,
and Darren Young.
Yep.
Of which, to me, I really am most surprised by Summer Rae. I know she hasn't been seen in a long time, but I thought they were going to build something up for her. Cause I feel like she never, I don't know how to say it correctly.
Was she on Total Divas?
I think, yeah, she was like earlier seasons.
Oh, but like, I mean recently.
I haven't watched Total Divas in like three seasons.
Okay, so, I'm honestly like, I'm not surprised by Summer Rae. Like, I have her on Instagram and she never posts anything about wrestling.
It's pretty much just like modeling
pictures. Her Instagram name isn't even Summer Rae. It's her actual, it's Danielle. Yeah. So.
Like, Emma's is, I'm pretty sure before she got fired was just Tennille Dashwood. Probably. WWE.
That I don't remember. Yeah. But yeah, so it's Summer Rae, I think, is going to be fine. Like, I think it was Billy posted a status about all three of them, and it was, you know, Emma to Impact, Darren Young. I would love to see Darren Young go to Japan. Because, like, CJ Parker is not a person that I thought would succeed in Japan.
He's done very well
and
for
himself. And he's done super well. Like,
or maybe hit the indies, too. I could see Darren Young doing well
in the
indies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah. I would think Japan would be best for him because he can totally reinvent himself in Japan like CJ Parker did, as opposed to, you know,
just being Darren Young.
Yeah, going out and being Darren Young, which
is fine, but
yeah.
Or a good third. I would just really love to see him be a good advocate for the LGBT, like,
oh, yeah,
that community.
And
he can do both.
But yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, he can do that.
I mean, he has a very splitting tree right now.
Please give me the info if I don't have it. Mm-hmm. I cannot think of a mainstream slash positive gay performer in wrestling. I really can't.
Like, no, there's multiple. Like,
well, one that, like, is that not his character is gay, but that he is gay and that his character is gay. That's not the focus, but that he is a positive role model and is gay.
Can I throw one out there?
Yeah, yeah, I want you to.
Ellen DeGeneres?
No, no, I mean in wrestling.
Oh, in wrestling.
In
wrestling.
Yeah, no.
In
yeah.
life, like, there's quite
I was
a
like,
few.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about? Wrestling wise, no, I think it is just him.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of representation from the LGBT community in professional wrestling, if you think about it. Of Canyon, oh God, you remember that giant confusion over is Canyon gay? Is the character gay?
That was gross.
A disaster.
So like, yeah, no, and I mean he could be like
he could be a champion. Like he could be big,
figuratively and literally.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, no, it was super bummed, but I mean, all three of them have just a bunch of career options ahead of them, which like. Yeah, it's I don't like people getting released from WWE unless it's like this is best case scenario for these three. They can go be their own person now.
Yeah. They can grow.
And well, so the thing that I was saying is like I could see Emma doing Impact or like one of the other like even ROH or something. Darren Young can go do whatever. I genuinely don't see Summer Rae doing anything wrestling related aside from like one-off appearances at wrestling conventions.
Yeah.
Or
maybe indie appearances.
Cuz now she can really cuz like she's been focusing hard on modeling. And she's great at it.
She's
like,
a lovely woman.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I also think I'm not super surprised they let her go, but I think she was also just a great ambassador and face that WWE could have just kind of used for retainer to do for public appearances and stuff like that. That right. It didn't seem like they were really,
they didn't really utilize her very well. Emma's, I guess technically would be the most surprising because did you know she just had two matches with Asuka recently? Two very competitive matches with Asuka just for her to be fired.
Ooh, you want to know who knew?
Who knew?
Lio Rush.
So, yeah. So, aside from Emma and them losing their job, well, because that is unfortunate.
And honestly, like, I would rather spend more time talking about Emma than Lio Rush.
Well, let's just because, the Lio Rush just, thing well, real quick. And then we'll get back to Emma.
Okay.
So, basically, Lio Rush, after the news came out, Lio Rush made a joke that said something like, I guess this is what happens when
you don't come prepared to face
when
Asuka.
You're not ready for Asuka. These are things that happens when you're not ready for Asuka. And the wrestling community just obliterated him. Like, everybody came out.
And there was a handful of people who didn't defend what he said, but they tried to kind of stemmy the tide of just unrelenting, just, like, hate that he was getting.
And
like,
I don't think he should have gotten that much hate for it. Like, it's a shitty thing to say, don't get me wrong. But, like, he tried to make a joke. We all make jokes.
But here's where a big thing comes in. Do you guys remember, I think it was last year. Yeah, it would have had been last year. Whenever the Tough Enough winner called them the social jobbers.
Yeah.
And then everybody jumped him. We were like, yeah, no, that dude had that coming. This is the exact same thing. Only difference is Lio Rush is like an actual wrestler.
I'm willing to say that this isn't the same thing in the sense that I don't think ZZ or whatever his name was trying to be funny. I think that was just him.
That was arrogance.
That was just him kind of taking a shot where he thought he could. Whereas.
And maybe this is too. We don't know for sure.
And I will say too, I honestly think a lot of the backlash that happened to Lio Rush wasn't because of his initial tweet. It was the half-hearted BS apology that he posted.
Because it wasn't an apology. It was just like.
Sorry you didn't get it.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it was. And it's one of those where it's just like, all right, you can't go and do things like this.
Yeah.
Emma's been working in WWE for 5 years. Mm-hmm. People love Emma.
They respect her.
Respect her, love her.
She earned her place.
Yeah. And then you go and you've been working for the company for 4 months.
Yeah.
And then you make a comment like that. Like, that's any workplace. It doesn't matter if you're a cop. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher. It doesn't matter if you work at a retail store. You don't make a comment like that about somebody that's been there that long.
Yeah. You don't attack people above you. You don't attack people that's earned the respect of your peers.
You don't punch up whenever you already.
Right.
Really, it's just good advice to just don't attack anybody.
Don't attack anybody.
Which, again, I don't think this was meant as an attack. Like, ZZ, I'm willing to give him less credit than what I'm going to give Lio Rush.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It very much seemed like Lio Rush was just making a joke.
He was making a joke, but, you know, it's not funny. No. Like, a woman lost her job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, comedians do this all the time, and they get called out on it, as they should. Mm-hmm. I remember after the disaster in Japan, Fukushima. Gilbert Gottfried made a joke about it and he got blasted.
Isn't that what ended him losing
the Affleck deal? Yeah. And Affleck. It should happen because it's one of those things that, like, just because you can say anything you want, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, just because you have the right to say any dumbass thing that comes into your head, use a little class and tact and maybe don't say it.
And then, because you had the right to say it. Then everybody else has the right to attack you for it.
Freedom of speech works always.
For every one finger that points at you, there's 4 points.
Still very much hate the, oh, it's freedom of speech. No, yeah, that's why he didn't get arrested for tweeting it. That's what freedom of speech means.
Right.
Yeah, and it, like, William Regal, I think, had the best response. of it's just like, hey, kid made a mistake.
Cause like, all right,
maybe don't try to kill him for it. Right. Like, maybe have this be a learning opportunity.
Now, because Bray Wyatt absolutely said, and real quick, Dalton, I'll get right to you. Bray Wyatt absolutely said, you're not gonna last with the wolves,
kid.
That's a very threatening statement from a guy like Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. Dalton, go ahead.
And like, when we say kid, he's 22. He turns 23 next week. Like, and I'm not saying that's okay because he's young. I'm just saying, like,
lots of people make
who
sense.
Was it that we just meant, like, we just, oh, not just, it was during the Cruiserweight Classic. Was it TJP that, like, people were thought that his WWE contract was in peril because of stuff he tweeted, like,
Noam
Dar. It was Noam Dar.
Said some very stupid jokes about,
when he
like,
was
his
like,
brother.
Yeah, 16, 18. Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it's just that stuff. Like, we are in a whole unprecedented time where
Ric Flair would have never held a championship belt.
No, he would not have. Stone Cold. Probably wouldn't have made it very long. Yeah. Because a lot of these guys, they're going on Twitter and they're tweeting out every single thing they think. Jason Wells was on the show a while back mentioning how he checks people's Twitters and stuff because they say the dumbest things, Allie. Mm-hmm.
There was an interview. I know this really doesn't have to do with wrestling, but it has to do with the conversation with Will Smith talking about his son.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, I said these stupidest things when I was little. I was just lucky enough to not have Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I you know, no one was paying attention to what I was saying when I was 14.
Right.
Like, and it's.
Cause I got fired from GameStop for making a stupid joke.
Yeah.
I know firsthand, if you make stupid jokes, that will happen.
Yeah. Social media is not just some consequence free zone where you can throw out whatever you want. And, you know, it's times like these where people learn that lesson. And, you know, I think it is kind of a credit to like people like William Regal who flat out said, you know, like, hey,
they should be allowed to learn the lesson.
Yeah. And,
like, this should not be a career ender.
No, it shouldn't be a career ender, but this is definitely going to be, like, you know, I don't know what, like, because I don't want to see people take liberties with him in the ring.
Right.
Like, that's not the time or place to do that.
You don't want him to get a receipt.
Right. Like, that. I don't believe that's the time or place to do that. But, yeah, just, you know, like, hey, you know, you need to understand, like, what is and isn't okay.
Right. And I think the backlash he's got may be punishment in itself. Cause like,
dude, like, you have like 3/4 of the WWE.
Oh, yeah, dude's not
room.
Walking in any locker room thing. He's gonna be changing with Enzo outside.
Yeah,
and even well, Enzo's talking.
He'll be on 205 Live, so he'll be with family on that.
And it was super like, and to take it back to, you know, Emma and Darren and Summer Rae, like, Emma's is easily the most surprising. Darren Young was injured. Like, they were trying to do the make Darren Young great again. He got injured. That was the last time we saw him.
Yeah.
Summer Rae, I don't even remember the last time we saw her on WWE TV. I want to say, was it the Ziggler
Rusev?
Was it
the Lana?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I mean, which is one of the worst angles.
She tried her best.
Oh, no, they, like, all four of them tried their best, but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
And then with Emma, it's the most surprising. And like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so we have the Neville situation. We have the potential Nia situation of people being unhappy with how they're booked. So they ask for the release. Emma's only tweet the day after she was released was just the two broken heart emojis.
Yeah.
This very much did not seem like if this was a situation where she asked to be released. Yeah. And it's just, like you said, it's incredible to see it. Well, incredible is not the right word, but it's baffling to see what a strong showing she was giving against, she was given against Asuka, who is being brought in as, you know, your
special.
Ultimate. Yeah. You're this biggest steal in the women's division by far on either show. Only to let her go, like, you know,
because it almost seems like I know they weren't building him up like post Asuka,
which
but it almost felt like with how competitive it was like, okay, now you can do something with Emma though. She can be a contender now
because she very much went from, oh, I'm losing in 2 minutes to Mickie James and Sasha Banks to
she won
that fatal four way. We have another legit competitor that, you know, easily could be brought to face Alexa Bliss or whoever takes the championship off her. Like, you have a new credible contender aside from the only other three women on Raw that you have as built as credible, which I guess they're trying with Alicia Fox now.
Unless Fox is the captain of the team.
Except, and now Alicia Fox is probably like, I'm not answering any phone calls from the Connecticut area code.
Yeah.
So Alicia Fox, I'm jumping, but her in the captain's hat and just going, oh, captain, like doing
no,
all that.
No, I love
that
Alicia.
Was amazing.
Alicia Fox is a treat. I don't think anyone's doubting that.
No, yeah. I've said it before, like, she's one of the more underrated performers they have on the roster.
Which we said about Emma.
Yeah.
Which you could say about Darren Young.
Darren Young, I don't feel like we ever got a chance to really see what he was capable of.
No, I agree.
Primetime players were entertaining. I thought Titus O'Neil was holding him back. That's my personal opinion. Like, I like what he's doing as not an in-ring competitor with Titus Worldwide.
It's his best role.
It is. And it's like, oh wow, you actually can string together sentences.
Yeah.
Where was this the last, like, however long you've been here.
And it was just unfortunate, like with the primetime players that, mm-hmm. and Allie, I don't, you weren't watching wrestling at this point, but Darren Young came out and then literally the next week they were faces. Yep. They were heels.
Yeah, they were heels.
Yeah, and they were like, and they were fun heels to watch. Like, I loved primetime players.
They were just
like,
that over the top obnoxious.
Yeah, and it was Titus, like, recruiting Apollo Crews, but with, he was actually wrestling with,
Darren Young.
And then Darren Young comes out, and literally the next week, he comes out, or like their faces, they win the belts right after. I think they beat the New Day.
I think so.
They beat the New Day. Yeah, yeah, because it was New Day's first reign. They beat the New Day, and the New Day
won it back.
Won it back. And then like Darren Young just had a really, really, really unfortunate string of injuries that kind of held him.
And then they tied him together with Bob Backlund and
that wasn't going to be a main event program,
no, but it was fun.
But it was fun. It was like that could have
up until Bob Backlund was out at ringside
and choking out the Miz.
Yeah, then it got silly. But so Darren Young, I think he'll be back in WWE.
I think he's someone who, like Drew McIntyre, like if he goes out, really kind of grows, is able to grow as a performer and really kind of showcase.
And come back.
Showcase the things that he can do, because I'm not blaming him. I don't think it's any fault of his own that we really never got to see why WWE needed Darren Young.
Right.
This is a great opportunity to take his talents and go somewhere
because he can,
and prove himself.
He can actually spread his wings, because in the WWE, there's that lie of, well, you got to reach for the brass ring.
Yeah.
But every time someone does, they get their wings clipped. Look at Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Look at The Miz. Look at guys that take it upon themselves to be entertaining and then have nothing to show for it. Well, Miz has a great IC title run.
No, yeah. And Miz is going to go down as one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time.
And no one would ever, I would never say Zack Ryder would go down as one of the greatest of all time, but there's more to be done with him.
But look at the reactions he was getting.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, let's go through some quick news real quick, because we're already like 30 minutes into the show. Mm. So, we're going to just kind of rapid fire some of these. The Young Bucks are wrestling on Jericho's Cruise, the Cruise of Jericho.
Yes.
That's exciting. So that's
the Rock and Wrestling Rager.
Sail it in, man.
So that's the Young Bucks and Omega are all going to be there.
I don't think Omega's been confirmed. That's just the rumor. That's the thing that we're talking about where.
Headcanon.
Yeah, the headcanon of the reason they're feuding on Twitter is because that's going to be the main event of those shows.
Gotcha.
But boy, does that not show you the sway Jericho has? With WWE.
Like they won't,
Because not a thing's going to be done with Jericho for bringing the Young Bucks on.
Yep.
WWE actively hates the Young Bucks. And
it's almost like Jericho's like, oh, they hate him? Give me the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Let's get them in.
Just because he's done everything he needs to do in WWE.
Yeah, and it's
just going to come back, be the best act on the show, and make some young guy look great.
Yeah, because you like, whenever they did the Japanese tours or Japan tours, he's always just like, I want to work Balor, I want to work Neville, and I want to work Nakamura. Just to see if they're as good as everybody says they are.
It was the same thing with Itami.
Yeah.
And it's the thing, like, the weeks before those shows, he's just like, oh, yeah, good job, you're a big deal on NXT. And then he wrestles them, he puts them over, and then he's like, oh, no, yeah, these guys are great.
You would say Jericho is almost like a tastemaker.
Yes.
In a way.
It's almost like he's been doing it for a long time, and he's very respected as being the best.
But yeah, I just love the fact that he can, like, oh, we sent this, you sent them a cease and desist saying they can't do their thing, and you're blatantly ripping off other independent stuff now. Like, did you see 205 Live with the Twix bar super kick?
Yeah, I saw that. Whenever Punk had his Summer of Punk, or like when he had his big title reign, who was his best feud?
Jericho.
And everything those two did.
Yep.
He made CM Punk take a field sobriety test in the middle of SmackDown and like called out all of his like his family's drunken past and stuff like that. Like Jericho.
It was uncomfortable.
Makes everybody look 50 times better.
It's almost like Jericho could write a tweet about Emma and not get in trouble for it because of his sway. But
he would.
But he's so smart and respected in the community and intelligent that he wouldn't do it.
He knows better than to make a joke. Like if he writes a tweet about Emma, it's sending condolences and you know,
and being like, hey, let me know when you can get on the podcast.
That's the difference between a young guy coming in and thinking he's got the world by the the throat, and a guy who's been there long enough that actually does.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Jeff Jarrett checks himself into rehab, and thank God.
Yes.
Yeah, that was getting real unfortunate
to watch.
That
was like a day after we talked about it, too.
And it was, because we were talking about, we talked about last week how Anthem has completely severed all ties with GFW.
Yep.
So, and yeah, it's good to see. It is one of those things where someone with those kind of problems cannot get better if they don't want to. Yeah.
Right.
So if this is him taking the first step because he genuinely wants to, then only good things ahead.
Yeah,
I will say I've never been a big Jeff Jarrett fan. I just haven't.
I mean, I haven't either, but
I'm rooting for the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, to tie into the last story, So we talked about last week how HBK was going to be the special guest referee between Adam Cole and Drew McIntyre for the NXT Championship in San Antonio.
They keep playing poker.
They do. So because they're like, oh, we need to bring in a big draw because ROH also has a show in San Antonio that same night. ROH, again, this was like 2 or 3 days after we did last week's PW, announced that Kenny Omega is going to appear at the San Antonio show that same night.
This is the definition of a penis contest.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's
no,
just like,
this
no,
is a
mine's
match.
Bigger.
This
no,
is just
mine's
a pissing
bigger.
Match.
Like, and we're the winners.
I was going to say wrestling fans are the winners.
Yeah, this is like,
I don't know how close the venues are to each other, but I would definitely just be trying to like, okay, so.
If I time this out,
can
flip,
I run back and
all
forth?
All right, there's a Flip Gordon match, so I can go and run. Like, okay, I'll run to watch Kairi Sane. Oh, God, who do I want to watch for the main event? Do I just go back and forth? I'll watch the first half. I'll watch HBK's entrance. And then see what Adam Cole does, or you know, see what Kenny Omega does in the main event.
That reminds me of when I used to watch WCW and Raw.
Where you flip back on
You're flipping back
breaks.
And forth going, okay, what's on here? I could skip this.
I will say the biggest thing was that helped me was the cruiserweights were always on the first hour.
Yeah.
So.
Although, I mean, I won't lie.
Before WWE was even on.
When I was younger, I mean, at that time, I was big into NWO.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Everybody
I
was.
I wasn't a WCW person. So.
I started as a
NWO
WWF guy.
Goldberg, I ate that up. But yeah, I always ended up staying on WWF longer.
I only knew Sting was a wrestler because Dollar Store, like I couldn't find WCW figures at Walmart, and I lived right next to Dollar Store at the time. So I would like my mom would buy me action figures, and I was like, who's this Stone Cold ripoff? I want the dude in the face paint, why Warrior was so popular. But yeah, no, like that's the only reason I knew who Sting was. Yeah. I had like 5 of his action figures.
But they were the same figure.
They were.
It was the same different. Character.
Yeah, same character in every one of them. TNA apologizes to Okada for his handling in the company. I didn't even know Okada was in TNA.
Yeah, he was Samoa Joe's lackey, and they dressed him up like Kato.
Yep.
No.
The Green Hornet. The Green Hornet sidekick.
Was there
sidekick.
One Man Nation of Islands, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think it was before that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was before that. But yeah, so Okada was... And it was that thing where it's like, oh, yeah, but it was like, you know, no one's going to say that the ringmaster Steve Austin... You know, you can't fault WCW for not using Steve Austin correctly. He wasn't good yet. And it's like, you can make that argument. You're not right, but I can see where you're coming from. Okada literally left TNA, went to Japan, and then was just like one of the best wrestlers ever almost overnight.
Plus, if that's what you're doing with him, you're basically making him Kato.
Yeah, that's like, just...
We but tried so, our best.
But the reason, but how this happened is Impact was over in Japan to work with Noah. Or they were doing some kind of discussion with Noah. And part of that is one of TNA's commentators is commentating for New Japan. So they're kind of, you know, working stuff out there between certain dates and things like that. And part of that is Scott D'Amore was in the locker room and kind of like, hey, you know, we would love to have an open working relationship with New Japan. We love you guys. I also want to take this opportunity. And he singled out Okada and apologized for the way you were mishandled while you were with us.
As he's just Please. Counting his stupid stacks of money.
Right.
Like, no problem, fam. We're good.
We can't confirm that Okada then just stood up on a stool standing above him and then just made it rain.
Or he clotheslined him.
That's or it. Either one.
No, because he's still alive.
That was after.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, sometimes wrestling is stupid.
And it's one of those things where it's like with the kind of strained relationship we've seen ROH and TNA have. And the current relationship ROH and New Japan have, I don't see a whole lot coming out between New Japan and an Impact partnership. I would love it because...
You don't see much coming out of Impact at all, depending on who you listen to.
And those people are stupid. Like, the people just blatantly lying about Anthem having no money and no interest. Yeah. Like, TNA has their first official, like, Sunday pay-per-view this week.
Apparently that's part of the reason, like, so TNA is recording a lot in Canada.
Yes.
And apparently that's this wasn't on there, but that's part of the reason that Taryn Terrell left, because she apparently can't work Canada or didn't have something ready. So she couldn't travel there, and since they're taping so much in Canada, they just kind of parted ways.
Yeah, it was the same thing with Cornette.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say this, and it's just, of course TNA or they are reaching out to New Japan. It's not helping New, like, if they worked a deal, that's only helping one. It's not symbiotic at that
point.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's only helping out. Because they have that sweet Ring of Honor deal, which is just help, like, that is growing everything for independent wrestling.
And mine is strictly because it would be easier to see New Japan people for me. Because, like, Impact isn't hard to find.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, Ring of Honor's not the worst.
No, yeah, but. Impact
it's like, TV, yeah.
It's like when Family Guy did the Simpsons crossover. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not making Family Guy better. You're just making the Simpsons worse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get it? Family Guy's terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay, just making sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Speaking of TNA, we got Bound for Glory coming up.
Sweet.
Yes.
Which, good. There, I'm happy to see that.
And honestly, like, the card is stacked. Like, it's going to, like, I think this is going to be a great show. If you're able to, you know, buy it this Sunday, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Eli Drake versus Johnny Impact is the main event for the,
Johnny Nitro.
The Impact.
John Morrison.
The Impact Global Championship. Trevor Lee versus Desmond Xavier versus Garza Jr. versus Matt Sydal versus Petey Williams versus Sanjay Dutt.
Jesus.
In a six-way match for the X Division Championship. The Chris Brothers, Ohio versus Everything versus LAX for the Tag Championship. Sienna versus Allie versus Gail Kim.
Allie.
You weren't supposed to know about this.
Oh, I knew.
You were supposed to black that out.
I knew.
My bad. Six Sides of Steel tag team match. Moose and Steven Bonner versus King Mo and Lashley. Abyss, who we just saw at CCW, versus Grado.
Wait a minute. Steven Bonner, spell it.
B-O-N-N-A-R.
No. First name.
S-T-E-P-H-A-N.
Stephen Bonner. That's UFC guy.
I knew that too. I'm going fast.
Sorry.
The Rosemary versus Taya Valkyrie.
Cool.
Yeah. And then,
Sexy Star involved?
No. Team Impact versus Team AAA, Eddie Edwards, EC3 and James Storm versus.
Who we also saw in, CCW recently.
El Hijo del Fantasma, who is, I always forget his name and then I immediately remember it. From Lucha Underground, The Hunter.
El Cuerno. King Cuerno.
Pagano and, Tejano. So it's like, that's a stacked card.
That's a good card.
So, and good for them. I hope they find success. They're doing a bunch of shows. It actually did officially sell out too.
Sweet.
So they're in a legitimate sold out the arena that they're in.
Oh, I hope they go out of business. I want them all to lose their jobs.
Shut up, internet fan. Shut up, internet.
Leo?
Is that how Leo Rush talks?
Maybe.
He needs help.
I only see him no-selling tombstones off of ours.
Let's switch over to formerly WCPW now, Cultaholic. Adam, which Adam is it?
Blompied.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Blompied.
I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, I'm not.
The Adam that everyone knows.
Yeah.
The Adam from what culture.
We didn't talk about it last week, which it happened. We could have made it on the show, but the show already went like crazy long.
Yes, it did.
So, and then.
Too much yelling.
Yeah. You guys are so unprofessional.
Yeah. Dalton, God, stop picking fights.
Really?
Damn it, Allie.
I'm sorry, guys.
So we didn't get a chance to talk to it, but it comes out that Adam makes this public apology because it has come forward that he obtained nude pictures that were sent to him by people that he had lied to about being in an open relationship when he was not in an open relationship. He was just in a relationship that he lied about. And this is coming on the heels of, you know, the big kind of the purge of sexual predators in Hollywood.
Yep.
And the ousting.
Well, in the entertainment industry.
In the entertaining industry, yeah. But like the big one at the time was Harvey Weinstein. Because this was before like Kevin Spacey and, you know, Brett Ratner, Jeremy Piven, like all those. And so I don't think what he did and what like Weinstein and Spacey did are equal. What he did was absolutely scummy, and he's obtaining these images.
He's a ready person.
Yeah, and he's obtaining these images under false pretense, so the women are not able to actually fully. It all comes down to consent.
Right.
And if they don't have the full story, they don't have all this information, they cannot truly consent to what they're doing. And, you know, some of the texts that were leaked out were way, you know, they were super flirty. He wasn't necessarily as flirty, but either way. Yeah. If he's saying
it's still
that
false pretenses.
Yeah, it's all false pretenses. And so it's what he did is a totally scummy thing.
Right.
And so now it turns out, and that delayed the network launch for Cultaholic.
And they have a release date.
Do they have a new one?
I think it's going to be like in a week or two. I want to say 17th, but I could be wrong.
I thought the 17th was the original one.
Let me check. I'll go ahead and keep talking.
Okay, then it turns out later that week it came out that he left Cultaholic altogether. So it's. That man, that is a killer blow. Because at least because we talked about it, or I mentioned it, kind of funny. When those four guys split from IGN, they started their own thing. And then there was the controversy with Colin Moriarty, because he tweeted the joke about, Day Without a Woman.
And I remember that.
He tweeted out that joke, was not well received. Apparently that kind of compounded other issues that were going on behind the scenes that we don't really know about. And so Colin then left, and now it's pretty much Greg Miller and Tim Geddes and Nick, and then they've brought in other people. They brought in Andy and Andrea and just recently Gary Whitta. But they had at least a solid year, I think, at least, if not more, of being able to build that kind of funny brand and really put out content so people knew what to expect, even with one person stepping aside. Even like someone who was a founder and a crucial member that Colin was, him leaving, like, okay, well, we still know what the show's gonna be. Cultaholics losing Adam before they've even debuted.
We don't know what they've got.
Yeah. November 5th.
November 5th. Man, I see. I really think that was the original one.
It's on their Twitter right now. They just updated it today that they're gonna they're launching on the 5th.
Okay, so they may have reverted back to the original date now that Adam's gone.
And it's like, so they tweeted that because I'm a little bit more in the what culture bandwagon than everybody else here.
What culture?
So, they tweeted it out and Adam, like, everybody, including Blompier, retweeted it, which I found just weird. And I think it's, like, working with CCW that, like, I don't trust anything anymore. I would like to think.
And that's Jason Wells' fault.
it's his fault. Like, I would like to think that, like, he is stepping away respectfully. And, like, it's not saying, like, what he did was very scummy, and I'm not condoning it. He is making as good a steps as you can. Like, he's not sidestepping. He's not stepping back. He's just trying to, like, all right, I did this. Please don't attack the people that are coming out. They have every right to, like, say they're like, and don't attack them for saying their part. I did something wrong.
Right.
Like, he's making every good step that you can in this situation. And it's not saying that these guys won't bring him on later.
It's not.
Like, so it's one of those that I want to see these guys do well because they put out, even if you don't like it, they put out a lot of content for wrestling fans that is funny. It's not negative. They're one of the few people, like,
some of their stuff's pretty negative.
There's some negativity there.
Like, comparing it to other wrestling things, like the whole effing show, they are
legal. I hate those guys.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know who they are.
You're living a better life than us.
Yeah, don't worry about them.
But look, they're like a big reason that the whole wrestling got demonetized.
Yeah, they're just trashy.
Like, they're like human scum of professional wrestling fans. They're not that. Like, they do bits. Like, they're a bit-based show.
But they keep it clean.
They keep it clean for the most part. They bleep the King Ross whenever he was around. I really hope that he does something new because I think that he could be a lot more funny without having that stupid persona.
Did you watch the vignette?
I did, yes.
So he burned a lot of the crown and the cape and stuff.
Yeah.
So
like they've done a lot of really good fun stuff for the wrestling community and YouTube.
Yeah.
And like their whole his big speech about being like wrestling isn't we are being screwed by not being monetized.
Yeah,
they've done a lot of good. I want to see them continually do good. So I'm going to subscribe. I'm going to give it a couple months to see what they do.
We'll crush it.
And that's fine.
Crush
it's
that
just,
like button.
It's a smash it. It's one of those things. Like, I wasn't a big fan. Like, the stuff that maybe I saw a bad sampling, so it left a real bad taste in my mouth.
Like,
and
Boogie.
They were clipped. Some of their stuff's clickbaity. I will say that.
I mean, less clickbaity and more just like the actual content of the videos that I saw. Cause like a lot
what
of
was
those,
the one that drove you crazy?
The out of shape wrestling.
Yeah. It was the top 10 wrestlers who don't have wrestling bodies or
it was like most out of shape wrestlers.
Yeah.
Cause
they phrased it in a really disrespectful way. And just like the list itself was really just it. There's no reason to make that list.
Right.
Like you can have
it's just
those.
Mean.
You can have those thoughts, but there's no point in just vocalizing.
That's
it.
Like if they came out with a list that said ugliest actresses in Hollywood. No.
Yeah, and they
go
and,
to hell.
Yeah, and places that like, and there are places that do that.
Yeah.
And they are also
whole
stupid.
Show.
So maybe. So yeah, maybe it is a thing that where you know I'm just holding a grudge because the 5% of stuff that they do is like that, whereas there's 95% great stuff. I love, like, I've gone out of my way to watch some of the Walt Culture Pro Wrestling stuff, but I always skip past any time any one of them are involved.
Yeah. You need to watch Simon Miller.
I want to watch the wrestling part.
I don't want to watch Adam, and now I don't have to.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things where it's like, I think it's a smart move. I don't know. On the one hand, like, I think it's a smart move to distance himself from the situation and him. On the other hand, like, you can make the argument that maybe it's kind of helping exacerbate the situation and make it seem not trying to underplay like because it is a skeevy thing he did, but maybe it's making it seem even worse
than what it
right.
was. Now, I will say because I still watch What Culture Wrestling because I watch their gaming stuff too. I will say since they've taken out all the characters and now it's just like, all right, ups and downs for the week and like top 10 lists and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a lot more fun to watch. Like it's not as like goofy as
well, when
was.
You get rid of someone's toxicity. Things become more fun.
It's I don't know. It's one of those things. Like I don't want to. Like I don't hope that they don't. I hope they succeed.
I want everybody to succeed.
Yeah,
because
because people who like wrestling are cool for the most part. And if you're putting good stuff out there, like yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like not from what I saw, wasn't for me. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but
Moving on. The Undertaker appeared at Ric Flair's 30 for 30 screening out of character, which is very unusual for The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, he's only done two out of character things. That was
the Vader one.
What's the Vader one?
Where like he almost got put in jail because they were at like a talk show in a different
country. Oh, in a different country? Yeah, I remember so that. Three. Kuwait, I think it was. Okay, so there's that. There's the, I think it was Ric Flair's retirement. When he came out and
that was in character.
Nope, that wasn't.
That was that in character.
The gong hit, the music played, and he like tipped his hat.
Wasn't he in someone's wedding?
Yeah,
JBL's.
Yeah, he was in JBL's wedding.
Well, I think that's a little like that's a private thing though.
You the know? Picture just surface. That's it.
What I'm thinking of is the
just like a public, like an actual public appearance.
Yeah, like he did a commercial UFC. For a local. He did a commercial for a local like car place. Yeah, or I a don't bike, or that. It was a bike thing or something. I'll have to find the commercial. But he was in it, like this was. When he was still the new Undertaker with the hat and everything, mm-hmm. but he was just a biker. They didn't reference him by name, mm-hmm. but it was just him and he was talking about his motorcycle. Huh. And that was just very unusual for the Undertaker to do.
He did the UFC thing, but that wasn't like it was a publicity stunt, right, but it wasn't a promoted thing.
Yeah. But it's very cool. If there's anybody that he should go out of character for, it's Ric Flair.
Honestly, like with him being potentially retired-ish, I would love to have him on Austin's podcast, on Jericho's podcast. Have him do the thing where him and Austin sit down and watch an Undertaker match and just commentate over it. And just like, okay, this is what we're going for.
That's fun.
Like, do they still do the Stone Cold podcast on the network?
Not on the network.
Oh, I haven't done one in a long time.
Why, man? Those were so good.
Because Stone Cold was Stone Cold. Oh, to quote Lita's theme music. So F your rules, man.
WrestleMania 35 is rumored to be heading to Detroit.
Yes.
But I've heard that
or
it's also
New York or Philadelphia.
It's New York, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and Detroit are the big four.
Yeah.
However, apparently
I've heard Detroit is a no-go at this point.
Really? Because the thing that led me to put that on there was that the deal was all but done.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me look this up real quick. Maybe I'm thinking of a different thing for Detroit.
I mean, and it's possible that stuff has changed because I went on that huge rant last week. I don't remember where I had read, but they actually had they cited that they had a source from within Detroit.
I'm seeing a lot of places reporting Detroit. Yeah.
Is that
maybe I'm no that is okay. Detroit. Maybe I was reading something else, but there was something and this honestly may have been a dream that I saw where it said it was the deal never happened because there was never actually a bid for it. And I'm wondering if I'm thinking of something else because Detroit news, CBS Detroit, everyone's reporting could they be coming? And usually they don't put that much into it.
If they're not
like sure of it.
Yeah.
I think Detroit's a good choice for it. Detroit needs it. RoboCop hasn't been active in the city for years.
Oh, do you think
they're going to come back?
I was going to say, do you think they're going to bring back WCW Superstar RoboCop?
So at one point in WCW's time, when they thought it was a good idea to include characters.
This was like 92.
All they had to do was wait. We could have had Sting and RoboCop versus Triple H and Terminator.
That's the game that I used to play on Super Nintendo mixed with wrestling, and that's fantastic. RoboCop came out and saved Sting. He opened up the cages and let Sting out. That's not the only time that WCW decided to put people in the show. And the obvious answer is Chucky. There was an angle where Chucky appeared from Child's Play and challenged Rick Steiner to a fight, basically.
This was like 98. It was like 2000.
Yeah, this was during the big time of WCW. Chucky cut a promo on Rick Steiner and out-promoed Rick Steiner.
In fairness, we out-promo Rick Steiner every show.
And to be fair, that water bottle just out-promoed Rick Steiner. But he did. He said,
Rick is only entertaining if Scott's calling somebody fat next to him.
He should team up with Titus.
I still remember Chucky's quote. He said, I'm doing love scenes with Jennifer Tilly. Meanwhile, you're standing in there with a genetic throwback that howls at the moon. And I was like, oh my God, Chucky is vicious.
/murdered by words.
And then the dumbest Savage. One, I don't know if you guys remember this, the dumbest one, would you remember the show on HBO called Arliss?
Oh, the sports one?
Yeah.
I loved Arliss.
Arliss was on WCW one show. He was scouting talent. Not Robert Wool, the actor. Arliss, the character.
With the dollar sign.
WCW blew your mind, man. I highly recommend WCW by R.D. Reynolds.
I can't remember who told the story, but go out of your way to read what the actual proposed story for Vampiro and the kiss demon was supposed to be.
Oh, it's because
it's
old and
bonkers.
Stang,
God,
no,
WCW.
Stang was a whole separate thing.
I miss
but
WCW.
I love it.
The insanity of it.
Do you?
Ross' 25th anniversary is January 22nd. Hold on, buddy. HBK, Kevin Nash, and The Undertaker are advertised.
Which is cool.
And that's it, right?
And Raw did it. Raw
yeah,
did
just a, three, right?
Raw did a thing where they teased, like, could The Undertaker show up? Like, yeah,
and
he's
then,
Bill,
then they said he's gonna be here.
But also.
But no, that, it's just those three, right?
That they're so happy about. And members of the SmackDown roster.
Well, that's a good thing. They're gonna be there.
Yeah, don't worry about that, cause, you know, no, we're happy to see them here.
After they just demolished us last week.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
There was some of them that weren't there.
I hate it.
Those are going to be the ones that are going to be at Raw 25. The good ones.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
One last. All right. We're going to get to hating WWE in just 1 second. I just want to throw this out real quick. This is the last story. Ronda Rousey is training at the Performance Center.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of places are leaking or not leaking are saying that she has signed with WWE. That story is not true.
No, because she's still under contract.
She's still under contract with UFC. Meltzer mentioned in one of the Observer shows that she had been to the Performance Center and was training with them. No deal is in place. There's nothing concrete there.
She could just be training there.
Yeah. So just temper, you know, I do think it's the going theory on Reddit and I 100% subscribe to it. The 5-on-5 women's match is going to come down to the four horsewomen. So two on either side and the UFC four horsewomen invade.
So you think it's a matter of when, not if?
Yes. Okay. So I like, and I genuinely think she'll be at Survivor Series. If they don't do something like that, she'll be in the crowd. And like, they will do the whole, her and Baszler and whoever the other two are.
So this is clearly building toward Asuka versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, right?
Got it. No. I like, honestly, like, I think this is going to be Charlotte versus Rousey. Cause they're doing the four horsewomen thing.
All right. And Asuka needs to stay undefeated until 2019.
Honestly, like you can do the four horsewomen thing and then eventually do, like you can lead to Asuka versus Baszler. Cause Baszler's someone who seemingly is taking wrestling very seriously.
And I think Rousey would take it seriously too though.
I mean, no, but. That yeah. doesn't
you
stop
you don't
WWE.
Think Rousey would take it seriously?
Oh no, I absolutely.
Like, I think she would.
No, I absolutely do think, but I don't see Ronda Rousey being a full-time WWE competitor, whereas I do see Baszler doing that.
Yeah, because Rousey can still go into the UFC and still draw a big, and I'm not saying anything about Baszler that's like super out there, but she was not as great as Rousey is, mainly because just her age and when UFC hit with women, unfortunately not a great time for her.
Rousey better not lose again. She's done in UFC.
I
think she's already done with UFC. I think she's writing out her contract.
Or also, trying to figure out a way to get out of it, one of the two.
Also, the last actual, the last news story before we get to like Raw, SmackDown, and Stride.
Did I miss something?
Is how great Kenny Omega looks in a.
No, WWE, announced their greatest quarter ever.
I actually was saving that for the end.
Oh,
right. Because I was going to transition from, they announced their best quarter ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about their product. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
Which apparently we're wrong.
Yeah,
because
we're the minority. Goddamn Sarah and everybody was right. We're the idiots.
I mean, I loved Monday Night Raw aside from Booker T.
It's the CM Punk thing. It's the CM Punk thing. You know, they're making money despite themselves.
Yeah.
So I hated Raw.
Oh, I loved it.
The following opinion is of Shannon Young's only, and I fully recognize that I'm wrong about things, but this is my gut reaction.
Okay.
This is not me being logical. This is my gut reaction, okay? So if you guys want to tell me I'm wrong, that's fine, but just realize that this isn't me being logical.
Is this what we talked about before?
Yeah, this is just gut reaction. And I'll save Strowman for last. I hated that Kane beat down Balor again.
Yes.
I hate it. Like, and Asa made very logical points of why I shouldn't be so upset about it, and he's right. But my gut reaction was full on just like, God, I hate this. Why are they doing this? Like, Balor shouldn't be getting his ass beat by Kane. Not only that, Seth Rollins got his ass beat by Kane. Everyone got their ass beat by Kane.
It too.
And again, Asa made logical points. But the part of me, the kid inside of me that can be immature and stupid just went, no!
So it's working.
It is.
Because the points that I made to Shannon were, you know, Balor had it was more on the competitive side, I think, than you were giving it credit for in his match against Kane last week.
Yes.
And then also, like, Balor got a win against Cesaro. Which, yeah, they're kind of the jobbers to the stars right now, which is super unfortunate. And,
when it's not a tag match, anyway.
Yeah. But Balor got a win on Cesaro, which is impressive on its own. And then Kane came out and, you know, attacked him after the fact, after he'd already had a match. But you have to keep in mind, this is the monster Kane.
Right.
This isn't
corporate Kane.
This is, you know, doing a solo double choke slam to your tag team champions at TLC. This is Kane, who looks like he hasn't left the ring.
Right.
Like, this is 90s Kane all over again. Which, yes, maybe I'm biased because Kane is my favorite.
You are.
And I love it. But, you know, you're making Kane look credible because before he eventually gets to Strowman, because that's coming.
Yeah.
Balor, if he loses this feud, that's not a big deal. He's about to get his win back on Bray Wyatt. Once he comes back, you have to assume. So Balor can afford to lose, especially because it's Kane. Kane is, and the way they're currently portraying Kane, it's, you know, unstoppable monster. You know, what does he want? What's he doing? It's Kane. That's got to be Kane. So it doesn't hurt Balor. I don't think this does anything to hurt Balor as much as, like, you are immediately assuming it will.
I'm afraid, and I've said this before, that if this goes to Balor gets heat back on Kane next week, and then they have a match where Kane wins, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm fine with.
You want Balor to get heat back on
Balor has to get some heat.
And I totally understand that. And you're not wrong. It's just, I don't think, even if he doesn't, I don't think it's as like as much of a death blow as you.
Well, it's like you just said, they make money despite themselves. Mm-hmm. Balor will still be over. He'll still be Balor no matter what. And I mask my childish. That's the best part of me that loves wrestling is the childlike part of me that still gets passionate about wrestling.
Yeah.
And I mask that with this logical, well, no, but Kane's from the 90s and he shouldn't be beating a new star that's up and rising. And in reality, it's just that I'm trying to make myself sound
hook, line, and sinker.
Right. But if Balor just gets his ass handed to him by Kane over and over again, and then there's no comeuppance at all, if Kane just moves on, and the same thing for Miz and Strowman. If Strowman just throws the Miz around for 2 weeks and beats his ass, then goes on to Kane, and there's nothing that goes back to those two, I know it's not going to hurt them in the long run, but I hate it.
I also disagree with that only because, well, I agree with you in the sense that he should be, I'm old school in the sense that if someone is the champion and you're feuding with the champion, your primary focus should be on the championship.
Not a feud.
Strowman should want the championship. If he has a personal vendetta against The Miz, what's the number one way to get to The Miz?
Take his title.
Take his championship. So if he just, you know, destroys Miz and then moves on without any worry to the championship, boo to that. But it's Strowman. Again, it's just like,
he doesn't need the title.
He doesn't need the title, but also like, Miz doesn't need to beat Strowman. There's really no situation where Miz does beat Strowman aside from crazy interference and shenanigans.
By Kane, probably.
Yeah, Kane.
And that's what what it's going to, and I honestly, I think that's how it's going to be, is the way WWE likes to book people, Balor will beat Kane in their match. Later that night for the Intercontinental Championship, it's Strowman versus The Miz.
Well, you said Balor will beat Kane?
Balor beats Kane.
You think Balor will beat Kane?
Balor beats Kane. I'm getting there, I promise.
So Balor
will beat Kane. Strowman and Miz are wrestling. Kane comes out and costs Strowman the match, and that's just the feud. Look at every Money in the Bank winner.
Finn Balor.
They lose their match, and then they successfully cash in after they lose for like months.
I know it sounds like I'm being a dick, but no, I actually had a question. Like, not Demon Balor. You think Finn Balor?
Yeah, I don't think they bring Demon to this.
Because I figured the only way that they would have Kane lose to Balor is if he's the Demon. Like, they are pushing that narrative that
I don't
the
think this
Demon
gets a pay-per-view. I think this is going to be a Raw feud, and they're saving the Demon again until Sister Abigail.
Is there a buffer? There's buffer pay-per-view. There's buffer pay-per-views between this and Rumble. So I think there will be a pay-per-view match.
The December one, which is,
see, but I think
what
they're
is the December pay-per-view?
I think they're going to go back to Sister Abigail once he's cleared.
I mean, that could be a thing.
So I counter with the thing that I hated about Kane on Monday. Daniel Bryan comes in, offers the, you know, the olive branch.
I wasn't even touching that one.
he offers the olive branch, and Kurt Angle's like, oh, you know, if Raw, okay, that's fine, but if any of my superstars see you, I'm not going to hold them liable for what they do for retribution, because we hate SmackDown now.
Please come to our anniversary show.
And, yeah, except for when we welcome them with open arms. And the fact that it's Kane takes up the mantle for Raw to get revenge on Daniel Bryan, but did they mention Hell No?
WWE.com did.
I think they mentioned they may have mentioned it on commentary about being like, I mean, they were friends, but the last time we saw them, they were feuding with each other, which was true.
No, yeah, it's true.
Video they had, it said, oh, hell no, Kane attacks Daniel Bryan.
But like, if it's Kane is unhinged and is just attacking everyone, cool. Like, then keep him far away from the SmackDown BS. But like, don't try to wrap it into, I don't know what story they're trying to tell here.
Wait a minute.
Are they telling that they have, that he has loyalty to Raw and he's attacking Daniel Bryan because of SmackDown? Because
he can't be on Survivor Series on the team.
Or is he attacking Daniel Bryan because he's the Monster Kane and they have a personal history?
Yeah. That's the thing.
Because they didn't address either.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I was going to say as the wraparound for the Kane thing, is I just don't know what the hell they're trying to do with him.
Yeah, because he even did kind of a little jokey line with Miz, where he's like, you threw him in the trash compactor too. Like, you're on your own.
I loved that. Yeah, no,
I liked it because Kane is a great, you know, he's a great talker, but it's just like, It's so, it just feels inconsistent with what they're trying to do with him. Like, I can't tell. Are you unstoppable berserk monster? Like, setting JR on fire and electrocuting Shane McMahon's testicles?
Are you cold and calculating?
Are you cold and calculating and quiet? Or are you kind of borderline goofy making one-liners?
Are you on Team Raw and that's why you attacked on Spider? But you can't be in the match because you have to have a match with either Balor or Strowman, but you. Not and then my head explodes. My head explodes.
And it's one of those things where it's like, man, if he wasn't so damn good at all of those things, this would be easier.
That's the thing. If I hated Glenn Jacobs, this would be easy for me to go, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. This is inconsistent and terrible. But I have so much respect and love for the guy and the Kane character that I can't be too mad at it. If this was Khali doing all this, oh my God, right now, we would all be in puddles of urine.
Yep.
I'd be so angry. Allie might not pee herself.
I want to say that Strowman is on the Raw team for Survivor Series.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kane better not.
And Miz is wrestling Corbin.
Yeah, no, so I really hope they keep Kane off that Survivor Series team. Like, because that's going
to
be.
I think they have to.
I mean, that's going to be the way you eliminate Strowman is Kane comes out and, like, chokeslams him from behind. And or. Then, like, just destroys him.
Did you just say the F word?
No. I said a bad word.
I'm not bleeping it. Or they put Kane and Strowman on the same team and they can't get along. And that's how SmackDown loses, and then Kurt Angle gets his balls cut off by Stephanie, who made a return on Raw, which is another thing I hated.
Yeah.
As Dalton pointed out, rightfully so, I don't hate Stephanie McMahon, but boy do I hate the character.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where Stephanie McMahon is not an engaging heel authority figure because, like, oh, it's fun to boo her and it's fun to dislike her. No, it's genuinely, I'm going to change the channel when I see you.
Yes.
And you make me less interested in watching the product as a whole.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many times I can watch you emasculate a dude.
Or a woman. Or anybody.
Like, someone on Reddit pointed out, like, hey, this is the most embarrassing thing to happen to Raw. Remember when Triple H had 98% of the locker room and the commentators
walk out
on him? Because he was doing such a terrible job?
Yeah.
But...
And honestly, like...
It's an embarrassment to the security that worked that arena.
Right.
Is what that was. What does that have to do with Kurt Angle?
Kurt Angle... Yeah, that is stupid.
Can I tell you what my prediction is? SmackDown wins, again, because remember, they won last year.
Yeah. Because Undertaker didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, even though he should have. Because whoever turned on...
Dean.
Dean turned on...
Oh, yeah, it was Dean.
Yeah, he just turned on the team.
Right. So... SmackDown won that match. Like, they won the supremacy but now they're mad because they didn't win hard enough. But if they win this time, stuff will be different.
This time.
It's terrible. But so SmackDown wins again. Stephanie tries to fire Kurt. Some BS happens that can't happen. And that's going to be our build to Kurt Angle versus Triple H at WrestleMania.
Or, like, he does get fired, Triple H is the general manager again, and then you just have Kurt
no.
Angle.
Triple H, you know, the heel
Asa,
authority.
Don't do this.
You shut that pretty little mouth of yours, because I'm going to say it. So, you know, Triple H, the heel authority figure, the mastermind of evolution who bought Seth Rollins' soul to turn him against his brothers. You may not. You will be quiet.
Dalton, you're going to get yelled at again.
The man who masterminded the destruction of the Shield. To turn Seth Rollins to the dark side.
Yeah.
Putting pictures up on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook of him wearing a Shield vest.
And pants.
Teaming with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. What? Are you fucking kidding me?
That is the worst.
No.
That is literally the worst.
There is. And I get it. It's a house show. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really count. No.
But it still does.
Absolutely not. The last two giant feuds Triple H has had was against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns is who he's replacing, who we hope gets better soon if he's sick or is cleared to come back, because Raw feels weird without Roman Reigns. Like, I'll say it. It's weird not having him there.
Right.
But no. Like, he hit your wife, or like made you, I don't remember what happened there, but like your wife went through a table because of him.
Yeah.
And you're tagging with him now.
In fact, you forget to mention, his wife went through the table and was gone for like 7 months.
Yeah.
Just came back. To hurt Kurt Angle.
Right. To just be the exact
same 7 months later.
With no change in character.
Meanwhile, Shane goes off the top of a cell through a table, is back 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Sting fought Triple H to WrestleMania and the NWO came out to help him?
No, so whenever Asa started the yelling thing and why I wanted to time out, because he was like directing it at me for a second, and I wanted to be time out, I didn't book it.
Yeah, you did.
Like, no, it wasn't my fault.
This is something you would have booked.
I know.
Wouldn't it be cool if Triple H would join the Shield at the end? No. That's like if Dusty Rhodes joined the Four Horsemen.
The what?
The Four Horsemen. Stop it.
I think I've seen that movie before.
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
I also hated that Alexa Bliss beat Mickie James with a punch.
That was weird.
That was weird.
It just felt weird.
I'm fine with Alexa or with Bliss winning that. But yeah, with a punch, that's weird. Unless, I don't know. I think the way, like, look at Alexa Bliss's title reign. I really think they're just going to hotshot, like, Asuka wins the championship her first go. And it's going to be quick, but they are doing as much as they can to make Bliss look as dangerous as she can to make that believable.
Nia's going to win it from Bliss first.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong, but I mean, I think what I'm saying also has merit.
Both are good options.
Yeah, no, neither of them's wrong. I really don't think they're going to feed Bliss to Asuka. I think that's a Nia Jax moment.
Let me explain why I hated this, because there's part of me that thinks a punch should end a match.
Right.
If you cold cock somebody in real life, that's it. Fight's over.
Well, I mean, Big Show the first year he used it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good punch can knock someone out. But this is not, okay, not to offend the wrestlers that are listening. This isn't real fighting. This is scripted. So if you can tell a story, and the story you're telling is that Mickie James has the heart of a champion. Yeah, she lost, but look how strong she is in defeat. And then she loses to a punch.
The difference is I would not question it at all. If in one of the matches between Brandon Barbwire and Mathis that we saw ended with Mathis like punching Brandon or vice versa. But the way that they would do it is there would not be a punch thrown in that match.
It would be the one
that would be the one punch that was thrown. And yes, that is incredibly hard to build a match around that idea, but I didn't see the match. So I don't know. I just saw the finish. Did they throw punches?
I don't remember.
Like, did they throw just strikes?
Yeah, I can't accurately say.
Because if they did throw strikes, then ending it on a punch is weird.
Yeah. Right.
And it's the same thing with, like, TLC. Like, on Edge and Christian's podcast, they pointed out, Asuka used an ankle lock on the night that Kurt Angle re-debuted for WWE after 11 years.
Right.
And it didn't end the match, and it wasn't, like, a consequential part of the match. That just seems like a weird...
choice.
A weird decision to make, yeah.
Now, I will say, like, did you watch the punch?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a hard punch.
I mean, no, and I'm not underselling. Like, I'm not saying it was a hard punch. It was a frustrated, like, Alexa cannot get this win.
Yeah.
And that's what ended it. Like, it was weird. It was neat to see because I watched it live and I was just like, why is she going for the pin after a put? Holy, like, that was kind of.
It felt like.
It was odd.
It made Mickie James look bad.
In the context of a wrestling match where you're used to just seeing punches thrown
in
left
the world
and right.
Of a Pele kick.
Yeah.
Like, it's like. Huh. I know she put some stank on it.
Big Show's knockout punch makes sense because Big Show's 500 pounds and is, you know,
But this is Alexa Bliss.
And
5 feet of fury in that one hand.
This would be like if.
She's got that Bruce Lee, like, 2-inch punch.
Yeah.
It's the Adam thing where it's just like, no, he gains all, he keeps all of his strength as like that small.
It was just silly. It seemed like a weird way for the end of the match and I hated it. Now let me get to the thing that I hated the most about wrestling this week.
All right, now time. I love this so much.
Of course you loved it. You love everything.
That volume.
WWE delivered some slop. You want to go eat it?
If it's Braun Strowman coming out of a trash truck, yes.
I'm not going to yell at you. And I'm not going to say that you're wrong for liking it. I'm not.
Yeah.
But let me explain why I hate it.
Okay.
So Braun Strowman made his return on Raw. And yes, I get it was Halloween. And they had this. And I'm not even going to criticize.
Thank you for stunting my one argument in the leg.
Sorry. I'm not even going to trash the fact that they had the camera in the limo and that it was the same shitty WWE we make movies bullshit that they
it's
do.
It's WWE. Like, yeah, you can't really say it because they do it every time.
But if you make movies, make a better movie.
Except when Roman was in the ambulance. No cameras in there.
Well, yeah.
So
they have to do it how it's convenient.
Convenient for Braun Strowman for him to appear out of the trash? They bring the trash compactor back as Miz is trying to leave. They dump the trash out, and then Strowman rises out of the trash and does his arm lift and roar, and everybody cheers. Two things. One, are you telling me Strowman lived in the trash compactor for 2 weeks? Two, it wasn't the same trash compactor.
Okay, actually, so didn't you say that earlier in the show?
Yeah, no, so.
Miz found trash bags?
Yeah, so like.
So it sounds like he wasn't in the trash because he left the trash bags.
He was very much in the trash.
To freak out the Miz, he brought a new trash compactor.
You cannot deny he rose from the trash.
He did.
Well, no, he rose in front of the car behind, in front, like also
after it dumped the trash out.
Symbolism, man.
Oh my God.
No,
so,
I,
So, like, all right, so the reason I love it, like, all right, for one, it was just an amazing segment. Miz's facial during, like, his face during all of it was amazing. The murder of the Miz and the Miztourage was beautiful. They made him look like a horror movie villain on Halloween. Yes. Now, the reason I also loved it is, did you watch it live?
No.
All right. I'm the only one that watched it live. Mm-hmm. I got to watch the entire 3-hour show that was predicated on about an hour in that the Miz wanted to leave the damn arena because he thought Braun was there. And you have the Miz, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel. Like, Curtis Axel and Bo being like, we got your back. And then Miz being like, shit.
That doesn't make me feel better.
Yeah, like, that
he actually says
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's like, that does not make me feel better. And then goes to Kane and he's like, well, Braun might be back. He's like, we, like, killed him. You're fine. I'm happy we're on the same team.
No, Kane was just like, nah, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Like,
and then the bar, like, made him feel better about it. Be like, no, we threw it. Like, he's done.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy to see we're on the same team. You're on your own. Like, and that was funny just to have that payoff. Now, the gif of Braun Strowman running on top of the limo, it was my favorite wrestling thing in the week.
It's funny.
No, and so I kind of fall in the middle because yes, it is, you know, you have to stop and think, and maybe this is just overanalyzing a thing, but Braun Strowman made the choice to get into cause like having a trash truck block off the limo, great. That is some, like, Joker-level mind games,
yeah, it is.
And I love it. But then he made a conscious choice to get inside of the trash truck that's full of garbage.
Well, we've never seen him inside that truck. He did not come out from the truck. He was standing in front of the car.
No, okay, no. You have to say it honestly. They dump the garbage out, and as they're dumping the garbage out, they show Miz, then they go back, and out of the garbage rises Braun Strowman, insinuating that he got dumped out of the truck
with
the trash.
No, it's not insinuating that, because, like, all right, you have to show me. You can't okay. – you, no, we say this every – you cannot say, like, no, he came out of the trash. I did not see trash move around
So what
him.
Did Strowman do? Did Strowman crawl on the ground to get in front of the car and then rise up?
Yeah, that's what it might – my headcanon.
Okay, see, you're – that is much farther of a reach than what Shannon's saying, and you have to admit that.
Yeah,
you
a little bit.
You're bastardizing that argument to suit yourself.
But I get what you're saying. You're thinking, like, well, that's so stupid. Surely they wouldn't do that.
It's silly to make Strowman have the conscious thought of, I'm going to get into this garbage truck and be covered in it and then dump it all
also,
out.
Also, guy that runs the garbage truck, will you open that for me at the right time?
I mean...
because someone had to do it for him.
I mean, if Braun told you to...
Well, yeah, yes. Of course.
I didn't hate it. I thought it's, again, it was in a bubble. It's hilarious. It's amazing and hilarious, but it's Braun, so I'm going to love anything he does. I'm very happy to see him seemingly officially be a face.
Right.
And I very much look forward to him and Miz, like, it just, Miz being absolutely petrified of it, because after something I wanted to just bring up real quick for the build to his match with Baron Corbin, his promo on Twitter, Miz is probably the best person on the microphone WWE has, and I'm counting Paul Heyman in that at this point. Like, and honestly, like, I'm only knocking points on Heyman because there's only so much, like, I've stopped caring about Brock Lesnar for like 2 years now.
It's the association.
And so Heyman is clearly the best part of Lesnar's act.
Yeah.
But it's still, and every time he finds a way to surprise me, but it's still just getting, I would love for him to be able to sink his teeth into something else. But Miz, like, even if it's just internet tough guy and he's not able to back it up, I'm doing everything I can to elevate this championship that I hold dear and, like, is the most precious thing in the world to me. Your championship is working overtime to try to make its holder feel relevant. Oh, and by the way, if you ever mention my pregnant wife again, I will knock your fucking teeth down your throat.
Now, I will say, yeah.
Like, just...
combine that with the promo he did on Daniel Bryan that we all love so much. And I would say that fired up Miz, like, actually angry, is a great character in itself. And I feel like that could be better, that could be suited to him than chicken shit.
Yeah.
I run from everybody.
But, now, and then I made the argument.
But he's so good at that too.
But like, so I made the argument whenever
Get
you
your
said
girl
that.
That can do both.
So I made the argument when you said that earlier, like off show was, yes, but at a certain point, you have to have that heel. Not everybody can be the cool heel. Like, and we don't have Seth Rollins doing it, who Seth Rollins was also amazing at being that heel. Of just being like, he was able to hide behind people. Miz is doing it way better.
Up until recently, every heel is that heel. Like, yes, they are cool and they will have strong moments. But I genuinely can't think of, like, even Baron Corbin just last, or 2 weeks ago, like, ran away from Sin Cara. Like, everyone.
Sin Cara!
Sin Cara beat that ass.
I know, I saw the clip.
Oh,
but Sin Cara!
Apparently he just signed a new multi-year deal, which is why he's getting, like, the line of shoes and exclusive Foot Locker shirts. But and my God, is being
say those
pushed.
Words. Sin Cara beat the crap out of Baron Corbin.
Good. I've always loved Sin Cara. Like this, like Hunico. I've loved Hunico. He's awesome. And I'm super excited to see him, like, not only be put in a spotlighted position, but run with it. That thing where it's like, if you touch my mask, I will kill you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm he on did. Board. And then but he so, tried killing
but
him.
To go back to my original point, like, when was the last time that we saw a heel aside from Brock Lesnar? And nope, I was about to say in Braun Strowman, except he did it to Lesnar. Not back away from a challenger.
Samoa Joe?
Act fearful.
Samoa Joe's backed away, but it's mind games.
Samoa Joe plays it off as mind game, so and his isn't as consistent. I will give you that.
What about the bar?
Because
to me, they strike me as just, they're bad guys, but they're not cowards. They love to fight.
They've never really been put in a position where they would need to back away, but they always, you know, they always do the underhanded after a match attack blindside.
Right.
They haven't really done anything to, and I'll give you that one, but that again, that's two examples out of the last like 5 years of the roster. Like everyone, and it's because it's a complaint we always make, especially when it was like, when it's John Cena and Roman Reigns and it's, you know, the face of the face is the champion. They always run their mouth, but then when it's time to go, they're afraid. And so, like, yeah, you're right. They're like, there is absolutely a place for that in wrestling.
But not
and
everybody.
The Miz does it, you know, better than arguably anybody. Right now. But just like, oh man, like I would love to see that Miz with the edge, that super fired up, super intense, like dangerous Miz.
Because he's incredible.
And now, like we were mentioning it, I did like want to mention the Baron Corbin retort to that, which like Baron Corbin is playing it up perfectly, where he's like, I'll knock your teeth down your throat. And then Corbin just laughing at him.
Which is like,
yeah. And then Corbin being like, yeah, no, you're super helping that IC belt. You had to pull your wife out of retirement to make yourself seem important again. Like that stuff. Like, yeah.
Man,
like have Miz get that angry and just have Baron Corbin be the big guy and laugh at him.
Shrug him off. Yeah.
Imagine if you had seen this on WWE TV.
Instead of having to follow both of them on Twitter. Because they're both involved in their own personal feuds and just like, oh yeah, by the way, we're building this show.
Oh, so you're telling me the Intercontinental Champion and the US Champion are going to fight? That's a huge match, but we're not going to promote it at all on TV. You're just going to want to watch it because we told you to. But yet they're doing such good work. It's like when we talked about CCW last week, one of the arguments we did have, and it was like, well, no, they have these great stories. You can find it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but it wouldn't hurt sometimes to put it on the damn show. Let Miz and Corbin go at it in some way.
Yeah, WWE.
Even put those videos on Raw.
Yeah, show those videos. Go like, oh man, this is what happened on Twitter earlier with, cause they do that.
And
they
then
do mention the
and
Twitter
then you
feuds.
You get a pimp Twitter again.
A pimp Twitter.
Did you know that WWE has more Twitter followers than NFL, NHL, MLB, boxing, UFC, Pride, let's see, what else? AAA,
NASCAR.
Baseball, NASCAR, did I say hockey? We'll say hockey again. Throw that
WCW.
On there. WCW,
ECW,
WCCW, those
CCW.
Followers combined?
Yeah. I've heard.
It's on that Did You Know.
You know what? We got to end this because we got to get to Stride.
Yes.
But I want to know, Allie, what did you think of the Strowman return? Where are you landing on this?
I'm kind of in the middle, too. I mean, it was goofy, but I think that was what they kind of intended it to be. I did see it more as Strowman was more so playing mind games rather than Strowman was in the truck for 2 weeks because... Dalton did tell me Miz saw trash bags earlier, like trash.
Absolutely right. Like, and plus it wasn't the same truck. Like those two things would suggest that. So you're right. But he did rise from the garbage.
But he did rise from the garbage.
Batman,
yes.
The dumpster.
And I believe that was more of a goofy aesthetic they were going for than actually trying to like put into the story.
Didn't they like acknowledge the fact that, oh man, I smell garbage? That's what scared Miz. But then it's like, oh, because you're standing next to a garbage can. Wasn't it like there was...
No. There was a garbage bag in the middle of the floor.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's... Because
okay. it was by a stool.
But is it so out of the question to think that Strowman had his phone on him, called a garbage company and said, go put garbage in the middle of their dressing room. I'm in a garbage compactor right now. I can't do it.
Or maybe he just crawled in right before it blocked the limo.
Do you think Braun texts in all caps? You know,
it's just
like, hey mom, are you doing?
And the
hey,
angry Bron. Face emoji.
Yeah. Hey Bron, I'm getting food later tonight. What do you want? Pizza.
Anyway. I want to drop $40 at Chipotle.
I'm not finished with you yet, buffet.
Allie, your turn.
Braun.
Fuck.
It's funny every time to me.
I'm trying to think like the we got Stranger Things for the Fashion Files. That was funny.
Don't have time.
Yeah, I need to get food.
The New Day's costumes were pretty amazing.
Akeem the African Dream.
By the way, SmackDown pretending that they're terrified that the Raw roster is like at their doorstep, ready to invade at any point, when they know damn well that their Raw roster's in Europe Europe right now.
Tweeted the Shield picture.
Shut the front door, Dalton.
I've already dropped that one.
Let's get to Stride.
Yes.
So Stride's show. If you want to see good wrestling that won't make you go, why is this big guy being booked so badly? Watch Stride this Saturday when Mathis takes on Jay Spade in a 2 out of 3 falls match, right?
Yes. Yeah. That is one of the things that is happening.
Double the chances for Jay to die. Asa has the card.
I'm so nervous for it. But yeah, so this Saturday at the Marion Star Center Mall, they're back to their normal location. Yay. Again, which they were there last time, but that was the show that we missed.
Yeah.
Another Stride Wrestling show. Really, they have a big show planned, like, and I'm really excited for it. We get to see Maximum Overdrive versus the DR Party for the tag team championships. I can't believe that landed. Who will Jay Wellington Beauregard choose?
I want to say that Beauregard is very torn up about this. He's all over Facebook.
He is all over Facebook.
And I feel for my old friend.
Especially with all of the shots that like Axe and Phoenix are throwing at and Dexter are throwing at each other. Like,
what about the other guy? What's his name?
Sleevely Magoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he has been as well. He lets Dexter do his talking for him. But that match is going to be fun. I'm very much excited to see who Axe pile drives this time. Because I don't know what it is about the DR party.
Because he did a pile driver of the show. We weren't there.
I know. And that's
so he's not going to do one in the show. We are there.
That's probably
true. He may be listening to the show and ask if you are.
Please pile drive someone.
Please pile drive somebody, but not Beauregard.
Or Phoenix.
Oh.
Say those together.
I've got a gift basket ready for Jay. I do.
We're getting a legacy championship match with Flood, who won his championship, won the legacy championship against Heath Hatton at the show. We were again.
Damn,
the show
Chaffee.
We weren't at. Thanks, Chaffee. But Chaffee.
I missed Stride and Jackson broke his leg.
This is a winner take all match. They have both agreed that whoever wins this match, there will not be a rematch. So whoever wins this match is the legacy champion.
Damn it. Those matches are good.
I know. We are also getting to see El Magnifico versus A.T. Brooks, which I don't know if there's a storyline reason behind this one, but because we saw A.T. team up with Joey O'Reilly at the Pinckneyville show.
And they teamed up last show too.
Yeah,
with
and they
JD.
Were together last show as well. So yeah. That'll be a fun match. And then, like you said, we'll see what's next with Hargis is not scheduled to appear. It doesn't look like. Coming out of there, and then we don't know what's next for Red Daniels either for the show. Red will be there, but we don't know what's going to happen.
And who knows what he's capable of.
But this is all leading to the December show because Red Daniels and Chris Hargis are having a Buried Alive match.
Woo!
And we said it earlier, like, how are they going to do a Buried Alive match? I have some knowledge now going into that. And I'm excited for it.
And yeah, Source told me that it's going to look awesome. He didn't tell me any kind of specs, but he's just like, you'll like it.
Yeah, it's going to look amazing. So I'm really excited for that. And then
call into WWE, they'll tell you how to bury people.
I mean, Triple H.
Ask Finn, yeah.
And then, oh my God. And then, yeah, for the Stride Championship, 2 out of 3 falls match, Roger versus, Jay Spade, which.
No, of course.
It's that thing where like, same thing with like what Sarah said of just like every time Jay has a match, it's just, are you okay?
Are you dead?
Because you're real good at that, and Roger's real good at hurting people.
And one can't help but wonder, and I don't know if I should not mention this, if a certain somebody will be there since he can't wrestle.
I would imagine not.
Because he was supposed to have a match with JD, but
yeah, because there was supposed to be
step on your toes, but yeah, so Billy was supposed to fight JD. Billy, of course, if you listen to our show or if you've been around, you know, Billy is hurt.
Billy's
so he will not be there. So I wonder if JD will be there. You know, maybe something's going to happen there. I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited to know what it is, though.
As far as I know, it doesn't look like anything is happening with either of them. But, I mean, stuff changes all the time.
Right.
And they Stride has brought out some, you know, kind of surprise stuff, too. That last show, the show that we missed was like, you know, there was a lot of, he had to make a lot of last minute changes because of stuff. And it sounded like they pulled off an amazing show.
I knew some people that went and just really
loved it. So, super excited. If you're in or around the Marion area, make the trip out. Star Center Mall, 6:30.
And we always highly recommend Stride.
And if you're going to be there, be there. Participate.
Boo Dexter.
Boo Dexter, because he deserves it every time.
And whatever his partner's name is.
Sleevely McDick.
Trollface Mick something or other.
I think it just said DR part. I don't know. Because it could be Brian, or it could be, Edwards. Might be Nate. Yeah.
If it's Brian, just chant like, boo brain, boo brain.
We want sleeves.
It just says DR party. So
yeah, I've been wearing sleeves for the past few weeks. So
I think Huntsberger did say it was Richards, by the way. Because I listened to my one too. Yeah, but no, if you're going to be there, participate.
God,
it's a fun
Kevin
time.
Yeah, it's an awesome show. So
yeah.
Kevin posted on our Facebook page and asked, will you guys be there this weekend? Asa and Dalton, definitely. Allie, probably not, and me, probably not, because I am still sick. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I wanted to go, I don't think this cold's going anywhere anytime soon. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Kevin Huntsberger.
We'll just warm up, Doc. Get a cold, just get warm.
We already did that. Also, the CCW Live was the warm-up show, according to Barry Carrara.
Also, before we go to the, before we get to the plugs, just want to send a special shout out to, oh my God.
Robert Williams.
My brain kept going to Roger because I'm thinking of the Stride and the main event.
Mathis.
Roger Mathis.
I did the same thing at CCW Live. I almost said Roger Williams. I was like, who the hell
is Robert Williams is having surgery, Thursday morning.
Brain surgery
to remove a, growth on his brain that caused him to have a seizure, fall, and break 2 vertebrae in his back.
Jesus. So he's
got a long road ahead of him. And so anyone listening, I don't even know if they're listening. I just want to throw it out there. Like,
Robert is genuinely one of the nicest guys that
we've met. Oh, he and Celeste both are just like, we met them through Billy and Sarah, and they are just so lovely people. It's a shame that it's a heartbreak to happen, especially on the heels of what happened with Billy and just like
Jackson.
Yeah, just everybody's
Marco.
Getting hurt. So, and he's not even a wrestler.
It's just somebody we care about. Yeah.
So if you're of the praying type, send a prayer to Robert and Celeste and their family.
Or if you know them, shoot them.
Yeah,
send them a message.
Love. You know, let them know you're thinking of them. Send good vibes. Whatever it is that you know you choose to believe, just you know, put some sort of positivity towards them because they will definitely appreciate it.
And no doubt he's gonna be okay, dude. He's tough. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
So. I agree. I don't even want to do plugs at this point. I'd rather keep it sweet. But
okay.
All right, we'll do plugs.
Like our Facebook.
Well, facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like. We try to post on there, do previews of shows if you have ideas.
We just did a live show.
Yeah, we just had that live show last night.
Which was fun.
If you love to hear possible topics, anything like that.
Or positive feedback.
Yeah.
If you want to kiss our ass, please.
Absolutely.
We love it.
Constructive criticism.
Yes.
I'm on board with that too.
Allie, what's the Patreon?
Patreon.com/Podzilla1985.
Thank you. I was like, say it louder. Thank you.
Say it with your chest.
Dalton, what's the website if they want to listen to the old shows?
Podzilla1985.com.
Absolutely.
Also go through whatever, if you don't download straight from the website, if you listen through iTunes, whatever your podcast aggregator is, give us a like, give us a subscribe, even on ones you don't use.
Yeah.
If you go out of your way, that helps us a lot to help
new
people.
We have a huge following on Real Player.
Yeah. So to help new people find us because we want to keep growing and
we do. I'm happy to announce, I haven't said this yet officially, again, for like the 8th month in a row, October was the most listened to month in Podzilla history by a significant margin. Our numbers spiked so hard last month. Thank you guys so much. Your continued support means everything to us.
Absolutely.
If you could see the charts like me and Jesse see, it has just gone up and up and up, and it's so incredible. Thank you guys so much. This is a labor of love. We don't make money off of this. We strictly do this because we love doing it, and it's because of you guys that we keep doing it. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening. We might be back tomorrow. I might not be there though. It really depends. My, I don't know if you guys can hear it. My voice is going out.
Pokemon
month starts tomorrow on the Thursday show. So we went from horror to a happier topic. Lindsay's going to be very happy. So if I'm not there, it's not a huge loss because I don't really know.
If you're not going to be there, I'll probably.
I might call in that favor. So Dalton might be filling in for me tomorrow on the Podzilla After Dark. So thank you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great week. Go see Stride this weekend. Take care of yourself. Stay out of the cold and have a good one.
It's the exact opposite of.